You're listening to a Corridor Business Journal podcast.
I'm Nate Kading, and this is Real Success. This is the Corridor Media Group podcast, where we explore the life and careers of the Corridor's most influential business leaders. On this season of the podcast, we're exploring generations and how area businesses navigate longevity and legacy. Dawn and Brittany Shorg are the mother and daughter duo behind Check, Feather, and Down, the Cedar Rapids-based bedding company that has been helping people get better sleep for over 100 years. Dawn and Brittany share with me how Check, Feather, and Down started as a household business, how remaining small has given them their unique niche, and how being a women-owned business has worked in their favor. And they also explore how online sales have helped their business evolve, how Brittany has helped revolutionize their marketing and online presence, and they share their thoughts on the one unique benefit of working with your family. I learned an awful lot, and I think you will too. Stay tuned.
This episode of Real Success with Nate Kading is brought to you by Midwest One Bank. Midwest One Bank is the proud partner for doers and entrepreneurs in the corridor and beyond. As an SBA preferred lender, our team is ready to help you reach your business goals. It's Empowered Money Management. It's Midwest One Bank, member FDIC.
Well, Dawn, Brittany, thank you so much for taking the time. We were joking off air here. It's the CEO and the president. You were saying that you guys don't like to have titles. You're the mother-daughter combo of the area's greatest pillow makers, the Check, Feather, and Down Company, 100-year-old plus company that's been in the family for that amount of time. I think it was your great aunt, you said, Dawn, that came over with Check roots and founded the company. And here we are today. You guys are carrying that tradition forward, which is amazing. And a lot of really interesting things to dive into. You know, we're focusing this year on generations of businesses, whether it's a small business or we had Bob Bowlsby and Beth Goetz, the former ADs, and how businesses change over time, how you work together, how you kind of pass the torch from one thing to the next, and how do you, you know, continue to make the business viable as the world around us changes at a rapid pace. And for those folks listening, the sleep space has changed a lot in the last, just even the last 5 years. There's been a lot of new technology, a lot of new inventions. Now mattresses can get hot, they can get cold, beds can recline and go upwards, backwards. Who knows what other craziness is happening in and around that world. And here you guys are doing the old school way, right? With the feather and the down. So I think that's kind of a fun place to start, is maybe just talk to us a bit about what is a feather and a down pillow. I know they come from some sort of bird, right? Or a goose or duck or whatever that looks like, but take us back, you know, to those old European traditions and share a little bit about what it is to create a feather and a down pillow.
Sure. First of all, thanks for having us. We really appreciate you inviting us in. A lot of people get confused with feather and down. Most people will come in and just say, I want a down pillow, or I have a down pillow. Not realizing that there is a difference between feather and down. Feather has the quill, the stem part, mm-hmm. on it. A lot of people refer to it as the pokey part.
Sure. I felt that. Yeah.
So, and the down is just the light, fluffy part off the breast of the bird. And, you know, you use either duck or goose. You know, they use both. Down, of course, is more expensive. Because there's not as much of it. So, you know,
if I pull apart the actual feather, does it come to you guys here when you're making it in Cedar Rapids as the down and the feather, or are you guys actually pulling?
No, we actually order it.
Okay.
As in whatever, like we have just an all down, mm-hmm. or we have a 50-50, which is half feather, half down, or we have basically feather, which just has 10% down in it. And we order it that way. We don't separate it. It's the, you know, the bigger companies, right, that deal in, they do that. Now you do have, if you go back 2 years ago, what they call stripped feathers, mm-hmm. and they would actually sit. We actually have a picture of a group of ladies, and we have customers that still come in today that remember family members doing that. And they would sit and actually just pull that feather off away from that stem. Hmm. And they call those stripped feathers.
Interesting.
And, you know, very time consuming, very messy. It's one of those things that it's not that it couldn't be done today, but who's going to do it?
Right. Yeah.
Well, and back then they used it. They actually would have feather stripping parties. And so that was a way for them to get together and gossip.
Sure.
Is basically what that was used for.
Right. Now so we have other ways we can gossip, you know, right. On your phone. You don't even need to get together anymore. You just do it. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, talk a bit about the history of the company. And I love hearing the traditions of, you know, the feathers and the gossip parties and creating the pillows. But what has been passed down over the last 100 years through your family? What can you tell us about how the company got started and some of the early days, and what did it look like, I guess, back in the 1920s?
Unfortunately, you know, as time goes, stories fade, and mm-hmm. we don't have a whole lot of information. I know back in the day, my aunt would talk about some big machine she had to clean feathers and stuff that was a steam machine. Hmm. I have never really quite understood the concept of it.
Yeah.
But they actually back then would have, they called them feather scouts. Hmm. That people would go out and, you know, I don't know, again, a lot of details if they went to like farmers or whatever, but they would actually go out and scout, and that's how they would purchase their feathers.
Oh, interesting. More of a local that actually have to go right to the
because I mean, I'm assuming way back in the beginning, they didn't have like, you know, we just have a company that
sure.
we order from. So yeah, they called them feather scouts.
Hmm.
So... Yeah.
Well, I prefer not to have that. That's a step you like to have outside of the company.
I prefer to have them all cleaned. And
yeah. So did the company start as were there grand ambitions out of the gate to create a, you know, a very large pillow company? I know you guys have the, you know, the mattress, the comforters and other elements as well, but was it just a really small company at the beginning, or had it ever grown over time to something bigger?
It was always a small company. My aunt actually had, her and my uncle had bought a property, mm-hmm. and in the garage was this equipment. So that's actually how it started, to my knowledge. Is she was like, well, I might as well do something with this.
Yeah, start making some pillows.
So so that's how it started. It wasn't, I don't think, you know, like, oh, I want to make pillows and
right.
that type of thing.
Was there a point in time, you know, middle of the way through the company's history where... It really started to peak and take off beyond just sort of the Eastern Iowa region? Or has it always just been
It's always just been local. Actually, it didn't start to get out of just the local area until we acquired it and started a website and
right.
trying to, you know, make it larger.
Yeah, more of the digital marketing.
Right, yeah. You know, back then they didn't have that, so they just stayed local. And,
sure.
And it was, you know, my aunt for a lot of years just, in fact, I think she maybe always mainly just did it out of her house
mm-hmm.
because it's just kind of like a small side thing that she
right.
did. So, yeah. And then when we bought it, we, you know, brought it down to Czech Village on 16th Avenue.
Sure.
And, you know,
the flood relocated you guys.
Out to Mount Vernon.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
So we were out there for quite a few years, but now we're back on 16th Avenue, only not in Czech Village. People mm-hmm. automatically hear we're, you know, out on the edge of town, out by Stony Point. Mm-hmm. So,
good. So what's a day look like for you guys? Walk us through. You come in at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m., 9 a.m. What does a typical day look like in the life of, you know, Czech Feather and Down? Brittany, why don't you tackle
it? Yeah, it's not as exciting as what you would think. We don't open until 11, so
okay.
that's nice. We're not, you know, early risers by any means. I mean, a typical day, we come in, usually you and I chit-chat for a second, and then go straight to, you know, computer work, checking for orders, checking online, different
mm-hmm.
things like that, getting things set up for the day. And then since I'm still in the process of, like, learning everything, a lot of the time I'm like, okay, what, like... I know we've had this come in. I know I sold this, and this, but where are we, you know?
Right.
And so that's where she'll go through and be like, well, you know, okay, I need you to cut the tickings for this. And you just make me a list a lot of the time. And so then I cut the tickings and sell them and we'll stuff. And like I said, I just started learning the renovation process, which is not rocket science, but it's one of those where I don't want to mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few different times where sewing a pillow shut is harder than you would think, especially when they're super firm.
I'm getting some cold sweats thinking of seventh grade home ec class if I'm gonna sew anything. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's been a few times where I've been like, are we going to have to seam rip this? This is not. And she's mm-hmm. like, no, it looks fine. And I'm
yep.
like, Man, I was stressing over that straight line for some reason. But yeah, that's typically it. I mean,
so people could go, like, you got your favorite pillow you've been sleeping with for 20 years, and you guys, I could send you in my pillow, and you guys can take out the old feathers, and you brought a really interesting, and people can see it online, things that you found in the pillows that you've restored, whether you got bottle caps and screws and cigarette butts and all sorts of interesting things that you find in these pillows. So people can send a pillow, their favorite pillow, into you guys, and they, and you guys refill it back up with new down or feathers or whatever that looks like.
Right. Well, what we do is we have a special machine that cleans them. And first of all, everybody's pillow is done separate. Even if you bring two pillows into me, unless you tell me you want them put together, I clean each one of yours separately.
Okay. So a special pillow cleaning machine.
Right. Okay. Yep. It's made just for that.
And the reason that we say that is a lot of the time dry cleaners use too, which especially since COVID, you can't really find even a dry cleaner now to do that. But what they would do is they would mix everyone's feathers together.
No, no. Is what we've been told.
Yeah, we've never done it.
I want my own feathers. Yeah, you don't want anybody slobber or drool.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's why we try to make a point that they're individually done, is because, yeah, there have been several people that have come in and said, this isn't what, you know, I took it to a dry cleaner years ago and this is not what I brought in, you know. So anyway.
But yeah, we clean them and then, you know, depending if you want more added to it, because they do over time, you know, they flatten out some. And so then we clean them and then we can add the new two, you know, into it, and it blends it all together. And then we put it into a new ticking, which is the casing.
Okay.
And so it's virtually a new pillow when you get it back.
That's great.
And because we do it, you know, individually, and there's so many options, you know, we have people that bring in, like right now, I don't know if it's people been cleaning house or what, because I think we have
spring.
Yeah, I don't know if we have three different orders, I think, where there's at least six or more pillows that, you know, some people, I want four back, and other people, oh, these are too full, I want 10 back. So
interesting.
Lots and lots of options, because we just buy the bolts of material, you know, so we can make any size.
Right. What's the, how long does it take y'all to make one new pillow? How long does that process take?
If we sat down start to finish without interrupted your basic pillow, we could probably do in
an, depends who's doing it.
Well, I've been doing it a lot longer than Brittany, so I could probably do it in around an hour.
Okay.
If, you know, like I said, it's not
truly handmade. It's your,
right. Like I said, it's just a bolt of material, and we measure and cut what size you want. Everything is hand filled and we weigh it.
And the weight is how you dictate the light, medium, or firm.
Right.
The more you stuff in, the heavier it is, and that's going to be more of a firm pillow.
Right. Because a lot of people think, oh, I don't want down because I want something firm. Well, you can have a firm down pillow. You just have to. Like you
pack
said,
pack that sucker in. Yeah,
exactly. You know, and of course, down gets costly the more you pack in there. But it is possible.
Yeah. What? So, Brittany, you're the marketing mind behind the operation here. talk a bit about the sales funnel. Like, what's your strategy for getting the name out there, selling the pillows? How does that work? I know you guys obviously have the website, so there's a direct to consumer component. Are you also listing on third-party websites like Amazon or anything along those lines?
We don't do anything with Amazon. We do have Etsy, which we haven't a whole lot of time into, just because of that handmade.
Yeah.
You know, that definitely. Before I started coming in, of course, word of mouth was the biggest, you know, for everything, was how the word spread. But yeah, the website, I mean, we do a lot with social media. So, of course, Facebook is a big one for us.
Yep.
Twitter, X, or whatever you want to call it now, LinkedIn, things like that, Instagram as well. But yeah, basically, I mean, it's just a lot of email marketing. You know, we try to do kind of like a little newsletter once a month with that. But just, I've noticed, and I think you have too, consistent with the social media, which can sometimes be hard.
Right.
But you know, just to kind of be on a schedule and get through that drums up business. And then we've done other things, you know, besides this podcast, we've done other little things here and there that definitely helps get out the word. Just cold emailing saying, hey, people love that aspect. We're a small family owned, woman owned business.
Yeah.
And people see that and they're like, yeah, this is a really interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps too. Just a cold email.
Yeah,
no,
the people behind the story. What's the furthest pillow you've shipped out? Where's the in terms of geography, the furthest away from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, that you've shipped a pillow that that a customer has found you guys, either via the World Wide Web as a way of connecting people in long distances?
Well, actually, we have pillows in England.
Okay.
And we actually have pillows in Nigeria.
That's cool.
But we did not actually ship those. Okay. They came to us and took them back.
Okay.
As far as shipping, the farthest we've ever done is probably Hawaii.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's a good, just by order of magnitude, number of pillows on an average month throughout the course of a year? How many pillows will be shipped out of Cedar Rapids or sold to wherever, would you say? It's a good month of number of pillows.
Yeah. Our busiest season is, you know, October through December.
Okay.
And I would say...
New pillows or renovations?
Yeah, new pillows.
I would say probably around 100 in those months, maybe more.
Yeah, somewhere in there. I mean, it really just depends. Spring cleaning's big right now, and we've been pushing spring cleaning. So I think that's
restoration, Chip.
Yeah, yep. And so I think that's really in the back of everyone's mind at the moment. But yeah, I mean, the summer months, it kind of dies off. It just depends,
yeah.
You know, and it's a kind of a transition period right now as well,
mm-hmm.
because September will be full time with working with you. So it's still kind of that transition period of where we're seeing
and in that comfort zone. And
to kind of see what's going on, because it doesn't help after the flood, you know, had to go to Mount Vernon and different locations. And so that's kind of been difficult. We just moved to this new location back in September.
Mm-hmm.
And when we moved, we weren't sure. We were like we said earlier, 16th Avenue. Oh, everyone thinks we're back in Czech Village. Are they going to know we moved?
Right.
And we actually had right off the bat a pretty good turnout for the holiday season. I don't think we expected. I didn't personally. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
they found you, loyal customers. Yeah.
Well, yeah. What happened was in Mount Vernon, we had to, you know, we were there for quite a few years after the flood, but then we were just renting there and had to leave that location. At the time, my mom and I had been doing this for years together, mm-hmm. and I always used to joke. She always, you know, oh, I love this, I love this. And I'd say, yeah, I'm going to be retired before you are, because she, you know, she'd always be, what am I going to do? Well, when we lost our location in Mount Vernon, we were working from home. She was working from her house and I was working from mine. Mm-hmm. And she very quickly came to me and said, she always did all the comforters and I did the pillows when her and I were working together. And it didn't take long for her to come to me and say, I'm going to finish up what comforters I have and I'm retiring. I'm done.
There wasn't much notice there.
I'm reconnecting with old friends. And she was already in her 70s.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it was way past time. She mm-hmm. deserved it. So really what happened in that time was we didn't like have a main location. I was working from home and that sort of thing. So that's why the business actually kind of started to slow down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when, you know, Brittany was like, well, I could maybe help you with social media and we can get a permanent location again.
Sure.
And so we're kind of
some of that youthful energy.
Exactly. And, you know, you were asking her about her marketing. My mother used to go and do talks at like Rotary mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. In fact, Brittany would even actually go with her back when she was in high school even younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my mother loved that kind of thing. It's just not me. It's not my, but Brittany likes doing that. So mm-hmm. that's, you know, another thing that I think you've contacted a couple Rotaries.
The grassroots,
right?
Get the word out and share the story,
right? And we've always wanted to even contact. You know, we have like a CPAP pillow for mm-hmm. people who wear mask and stuff. And we've done work with chiropractors that mm-hmm. actually. So we've always kind of wanted to go out and directly market to them,
sure.
Which is something that I'm hoping that, you know, when Brittany gets more comfortable and stuff, that's going to be more of what she does with mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Just to get the word out, because our main thing is people don't know. I mean, we have so many people come in and, you know, I didn't know you existed.
Right. That's a cool, you know, locally owned business story here, just right in the corridor. Absolutely. And
continuing
to get that word out that's a big deal. Talk a bit about working with your mom. What were some of the key takeaways? And now your daughter's working with you. So what did you learn from that relationship with your mom? That you're going to apply back to this relationship with Brittany?
Well, you know what? We're actually very fortunate. we've always worked as a family, and we're very fortunate that we've always gotten along really well. Mm-hmm. You know, don't get me wrong, we're a family. We.
But, oh, I know, I get it. Yeah, trust me.
But Brittany and I, especially, I mean, she says right, I say left. She says up, I say. I mean, we automatically know we are opposites. Mm-hmm. My mother and I weren't. I always say it's because she's left-handed. I don't know. My mother and I, basically, back then, she was making all the comforters and feather beds, and I was just doing all the pillows. So it was almost like, and I was trying to do the social media part of it. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like we each had our own little area, and we stuck to it.
Right.
So
what about the managing the books of the business? And the
my
accounting?
Mother did all that okay, back she then. Was, okay. She owned it. So, you good. Know, I was just... I swapped roles. I took hers and Brittany took mine. So yeah, my mom did all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. So we basically just, and her and I would actually split up days. We were open 7 days a week back then.
Okay.
And we had like 2 days a week where we would work together. Otherwise, nice. We just, cause you know,
some overlap. It gets a couple
just
days
to kind of talk, you know, about different things. And there are things that we'd work on together, you know, like some of the marketing that we were trying to do, but, yeah, otherwise it was separate because then she could have the whole space for comforters and I could have the whole space for, mm-hmm. pillows and actually, yeah. And then somebody got a day off too.
Sure.
So her and I didn't actually spend as much time together as what Brittany and I are right now, pretty much working
same
together.
Spot.
Yeah. The same. Sure. Yeah. But it's because Brittany's still learning. And mm-hmm. the goal is, I never learned to do comforters because my mother did all those. Mm-hmm. I've done a couple now. I'm teaching myself. And the goal is for me to get back to doing that mm-hmm. because in the beginning I didn't want anything to do with it.
Right.
But there is such a high demand.
Cannot beat a good comforter or a good pillow. I mean, that's a,
you know,
that's on the top of your list in terms of things that you need in and around the house or just your daily, both of those things are huge.
Well, and it even really surprises me because to redo a comforter is more work than a new one because you have to completely take it apart.
Right.
And none of it's, you know, anybody can do it. It's just messy and it's time consuming, but it just even amazes me the people, the money they will spend to redo a comforter.
Right.
So, you know, I started taking names and like, well, I'm going to try it. And it's like the list just got so long. So that's the goal is for me to start doing some comforters.
Okay.
And then Brittany maybe take over more of the pillow, kind of go back into the sure. role my mother and I were. But yeah.
As you look out into as Brittany has come on board and, you know, your mom's out of the business. Like, what do you have? A few goals? You guys talk about that? Do you want to grow the company, or it seems like it's just been a thing that's been a perfect sort of sized fit for your family as it's been, or is the goal just to sustain it and keep it going so it remains kind of as it is? Or do you guys chat much about that kind of strategy or goal planning?
Well, once again, when it comes to Brittany and I, my goal is to just sustain it. Mm-hmm. I have no desire to have employees and, mm-hmm. you know, now Brittany and she's talked about someday, you know, she has bigger visions than I do, I think, when it comes.
Well, we haven't really talked about it because, I mean, you know, as a young kid, had someone asked me, so many people when I was younger, oh, it's so cool. Your family business is so cool. You take it for granted. When you're a kid, you don't care.
Right.
She didn't want anything to do with
it. I wanted nothing to do
with it. It just sort of exists. My mom and grandma do that. Let them do their thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought much of it. And, you know, and I also was the one that, you know, I went to Mount Vernon. I was going to get out of Iowa. I wanted nothing to do with Iowa. And today there's no way that I would ever move out of Cedar Rapids. But, you know, again, 10 years ago, had you asked me this question? Oh, yeah. Would have grown it, you know, once my mother decides to retire, grow it a little bit. Now that I see that, first of all, the family aspect is, I don't know, there's just something about that. You know, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And the more I think about it, it's like, I think to keep it in the family, you know, years from now when I'm long gone, when, you know, if someone can say, oh, this has been in my family for 200 years.
That's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like I said, 10 years ago, had you asked me, yeah, let's blow it up. Let's make it big and, you know, go from there. But now I don't think that I have any interest in that. You know, I like keeping it.
Oh, that surprises me.
Yeah.
Well, I learned something new today. Learned something. Yeah.
Well, that's, yeah, we haven't ever really.
Yeah, because I thought my son, too, you know, they just think bigger than.
You ever find times when, let's say, it's the holiday season and things are firing up and Etsy and someone stumbles across it and maybe the order level gets to a point where it's like, holy cow, this is a lot. Like, where you've gotten out of the comfort zone a little bit too much. How do you guys.
We've been busy.
We've been busy, but it gets a little stressful, but mm-hmm. I would not say out of the comfort zone because my husband and my son both know how to sew, to fill. So, you know,
the bench, to get the bench players ready to go.
Exactly. Yep. We always just whatever needs done, we jump in and do it. Mm-hmm. So it's like I said, it gets a little stressful sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But they're always there and we can just, you know, around the holidays, we put in a lot more hours, which mm-hmm. is fine. We know that
sure.
because we know come January, we're going to have some, you know, slow time too. Mm-hmm. So we
usually try to get up to that December 22nd point, and we know once we get there,
right.
orders have shipped out. Now we're just...
You can enjoy your Christmas at that point.
Right. We're cleaned up for the year. Last minute people are coming in for last minute gifts. And then we know, okay, we can breathe, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and we're also very fortunate that, you know, life can be difficult and people can be difficult. But...
Especially something as personal as the pillow, right? Like that's... You got to get that just right.
But we are very fortunate. Our customers... I mean, we've had over the years a couple, but we have never, mm-hmm. you know, had the stresses of what a lot of people in business have. We right. just, we're fortunate that we have a lot of good people to work with. And
who is your typical, if you were to say your typical kind of target customer, like who's the perfect customer for you guys that comes in, or who do you see the most often generally, whether it's age or gender or, you know, people that have a certain... interest in some particular about the pillow, like what attracts someone to, and who is that customer that's attracted to your product?
You know, oh, okay.
Go ahead.
You're looking at me.
I don't know. I know this is an overgeneralization, but if you were to say,
well, when you're marketing, you have to look at that and you have to know what you're going for. That's why typically what do we see? We see, you know, 50s on up, mm-hmm. Typically women. That are coming in, a lot of the time we get women in that are like, oh, my husband's pillow is absolutely disgusting. And it's like, we've seen worse. Yeah. You're fine. But we're also trying to, we have that older generation that appreciates the product. But this younger generation, my, you know, millennials, and we're going to start to, I guess, that new Gen Z, you know, those kids yeah. are growing up too. We want to try to promote to them a little bit as, you know, this is better for the environment too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you're not throwing foam pillows into a landfill, because we get a lot of people that do that too. Where yeah. I've spent
a lot of people
$200-$300 this past year.
That. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, trying to find a pillow and they've thrown them out.
It's all the synthetic fibers and all of the
right.
you know the
yeah.
foams and plastics and whatever goes into that. God yeah. knows what even goes into that.
Right, no kidding.
Well, and we actually have a pretty good mix of customers.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like Brittany was saying. The reason that they're there. The older ones are more, these were my grandma's, mm-hmm. these were, you know, they're sentimental. Yeah. I want to.
Grown up sleeping on these sort of pillows and right. want to change now, right?
Right. Where Brittany's generation is more of the, I'm saving the landfill. I can recycle this. Yeah. So, you know,
a couple different messages for the different targets.
Yeah, right. You definitely yep. can yeah. tell when you're on the phone with somebody what generation they're coming from.
But
yeah.
we also get a lot of, too, which I think is super cool, wedding gifts. So the younger generation is receiving oh, yeah. this, you know, from grandma or mom or dad or whoever. And then that's also bringing in that new generation of, oh, I didn't know, you know, they'll sleep on it. And they're like, oh, I didn't realize how important it was to have a decent pillow. And then that's that, you know, keeping that newer generation coming in. So it's definitely, yeah, we're starting to see, I would say, more my age of, of yeah. people coming in. But, you know, you're right. We have a good mix.
Well, and I have to give a shout out to our male customers. I mean, they are 9 times out of 10 easier. They walk in, yeah. grab oh, yeah, a pillow, feel this yeah. one, feel that's that a, one. That's what I want.
I'm a firm guy, personally. That's what I like. I mean, a nice firm one.
Yeah, and it's usually the wife standing there saying, are you sure yeah. that's what you want? And they're like, I told you when I walked in.
Yep.
That's
very true.
So there definitely is a difference in
that's great.
in customers.
Do you guys have any... advice for other people that are either in business with family members or considering it or starting a business with a close friend? Or are there kind of key elements to success about working with someone as close as a mother-daughter combo?
You know, I personally have to say, I don't know if being with a friend in business would ever really be a good idea.
Okay. Why is that?
To me, you know, like mother-daughter, you're always mother and daughter. Mm-hmm. You're never going to walk away from each other. You know, where a friend, you can, okay, I don't have to have anything.
Yeah, it's not working. We got to figure something
out.
Okay, interesting.
You know, so I think it would be easier to have conflict, to me, mm-hmm. personally, I think.
In this relationship, there's no misinterpreting who the boss is. that's been happening. You guys have known that forever, right? It's mom's mom and daughter's daughter. Yeah.
Well, what's funny, though, is when I first started, it would be something where I would be working something on the computer and she'd be like, hey, when you get a second, or if you have time today, could you get this done? And I'd be like, you're in charge. You know, you're in charge. You tell me what to do. Not if you feel like it or if you get to it. It's you tell me. But to me, it's that level of respect, you know.
Does that level of respect ever get in the way for you, Brittany, to provide some constructive criticism, or if you guys were to differ on something because it's your mom, does that ever complicate things within the business at all? Because maybe you don't feel, or maybe you can't, maybe you do feel like you can tell her what, you know, piece of your mind.
You're worried you're going to open up a therapy session. Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
No, we've always been able to be pretty honest with each other. Like I said, it is really funny when I'm learning, and we do say it's because I'm left-handed, even as much as cutting a ticking. She shows me, I go to do it a different way. And it doesn't matter. Even writing a note, she's like, you literally wrote that backwards how I would do it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, you know, but it's just crazy. But no, I don't think it's ever, we know that we're opposite, and it's also a way to get different ideas out there. So she'll say something, I'll say something totally different, and then we can come together and be like, okay, let's take, you know, this aspect of what you said, this aspect of what I said, and create something. We bounce off of each other pretty well, I think.
Yeah. That's good. Well, I think just in our family altogether, there's not really that dominant, I'm the boss, I'm in control. We've always just worked together as a team, you know? So I think that's probably part of it that works for us because, I mean, granted, don't get me wrong, we have our things where, you know, you're irritating me today.
We all need our space at some point in time, right?
But I think that's probably one of the key things that works for us is there is no one of us that's like, I'm in charge. I'm, you know, we just.
Well, and we work similar too. I would say the four of us, the three of us, except my brother, when we work together, you know, we have a task, we're focused on it, we're gonna, you know, get it done. As where my brother, he's super hardworking kid. He'll outwork probably any of us, but the kid talks. And so, well, you know, if I'm working on something with him, he's talking and talking and talking. And one time we were doing something and he said, you're boring. And I went, what?
And like, focusing, man. Come on.
He's like, you won't talk. You won't say anything. I said, when I'm working, I'm working. I don't know what you're yapping about. So, I mean, that helps too, that we work similarly, that, you know, once we have our task, we're pretty much zoned in on what we're doing.
Trevor's like my mother. When they work, they talk. Yeah. And
that's good.
My husband and Brittany and I, when we work, we're focused.
Yeah. Well, how about that? I always find it interesting. So talk a bit about that line of demarcation between business and family. So let's say you're all the stress of getting all the pillows out for Christmas. He says December 22nd. And now it's time to transition to being mother and daughter, not coworkers, right? Like, do you ever struggle with bringing the business or not bringing the business home to home life or family? You're sitting around ready to cut the Christmas goose and celebrate. Are you still, is it hard to put aside the coworker relationship and then just go back to being mother and daughter when you need to be? Or is it all just sort of jumbled and blended together?
He brings up stuff that I never thought of.
It's an interesting question. I feel like I don't know, maybe you feel differently. I feel like that we never necessarily have that coworker dynamic. It's just we work together and we know we're working together. I mean, we work together every day, But on our days off, which our days off are Sunday and Monday, we're closed. I still call you, whether it's, you know, to talk about what I did or what are you doing or what whatever. Cousin did.
Yeah, like stuff, regular mom and daughter. Yeah, I would talk. Yep.
Yeah, but like yesterday I called and you guys told me a little bit about what you had been up to. And then we talked about this, you know, oh, by the way, we've got this going on. So, I mean, it jumbles together, but it doesn't. I don't know.
Well, I guess for us, maybe it's, I even grew up in a family. My dad had his own business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up as a family business working together.
You're in it all the time. Yeah. Yep.
And then, you know, like my husband is an electrician and had his own business. And so our kids were brought up in, you know, dad needs help hauling this or doing that. So I guess maybe we don't think
of it.
It's
not a 9 to 5. It all, it's just with you.
Right. Yeah. So I guess
you never can just turn it off. Yep. You know, you can't just walk away from it and turn it off. There's always something that you're thinking of or an idea pops in your head.
Sure.
But yeah, like you're saying, yeah, it's always just, if it needs done, you jump in and do it and then go back to normal family things, I guess.
So yeah, I guess we do. Like I said, until you brought that up, I've never thought of that.
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
I guess we do. If it's Christmas dinner and something pops in my head, I probably say, oh, by the way, Brittany, did you?
Yeah. Yep.
And you said that, you know, the overarching goal is to sustain and to have this continue on. Do you guys have, you know, you read the, you know, publicly, these huge big companies always have their, you know, their KPIs, their key performance indicators and these sort of things. Do you guys, will you sit down at the start of a quarter or when you're moving into next year, 2025, and say this year, last year we made 5,000 pillows or 2,000 pillows. This year we want to make 6,000 pillows. Like, do you guys talk about goal setting or are there any goals or those sort of things that are a part of the company? Or is it just when the orders come in, we want to get moving? Or how do you guys measure success within the company?
We haven't actually sat down and like put, I know what you're saying, the actual numbers to something, because it's kind of newer, Brittany and I working together yet. Like I said, we just moved into this location last summer.
Yeah. Get used to the new normal. And,
So we haven't actually, we're just trying to kind of get it built back up. And the goal right now has just kind of been, let's get the word out. How can we get the word out?
Yep.
But that is something that, we will sit down, you know, and be like, okay, we want to be to this level at this time or, because the goal is to, we have room for expansion for us to work more hours.
Well, I think little things like, I know at the end of holiday season for us, and like she said, October through December, we kick off October because we have our breast cancer pillows as well. Mm-hmm. We kick off with that. And I know that at the end of December last year, we looked at just briefly, you know, okay, again, we did more than expected, especially after a move. But next year we should be able to, you know, I don't even remember what we talked about. I'm sure it's written down somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we've kind of glanced at it, but like she said, we're in that transition period of kind of just getting things worked out and smoothed out. And we'll probably get to that point a little more.
How much do you guys pay attention or maybe not at all to sort of the changing landscape out there in and around your particular industry? You know, there's, we had talked a little bit about it, just sleep in general. There seems like there's almost all sorts of new technology and pillows and medicine to help you sleep. And, you know, the dark, there's a lot of chatter about it in the, you know, medical field and anywhere else. Do you guys stay pretty in tune with that? Or is it just sort of, hey, we've got our tried and true, you know, product here that stood the test of time. We'll let all these other newfangled things happen and we'll just stay the course.
Well, this goes back to I'm old fashioned. So I have not a lot of interest in that. Brittany does. Brittany will tell me, Mom, this, we need to do this.
We keep an
She keeps an
eye on it, you know, but you kind of, I don't know what, why fix what isn't broken? Right. You know, it works for us. It's different too. You know, all these new things are coming and people get tired of that too, where they're like, I just want a basic, I keep reading the tag. It says down pillow, but yet it's not quite a down pillow, you know? And so that's why when they come to us, they're like, okay, it's that simple. I don't want to say it's simple, but it's just more of a, I don't know. I guess I don't know what I'm trying to
say. It is simple. It's a
there's a good chunk of the market out there that really appreciates that, right?
It's simplicity. And like Brittany said, why fix what isn't broken? You know, a lot of our customers come in, you know, and like she said, they've tried the foam, they've tried the this, they've tried the that, you know, and and they have a closet full of them and they're going back to just the simple basics.
Yep.
So, but you know, as far as, I mean, Brittany's more aware of all the new different styles and stuff,
but yeah, I don't feel a need to incorporate those kind of things into, you know, the new stuff. I don't know about you. Well, no,
you probably don't. We've done things. We've done things like we have a CPAP pillow, intended for people who have the mask.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And that came about because my husband actually had to start using the CPAP machine and he couldn't find a down CPAP pillow. Of course he's used to down. So that's what he wanted.
Yeah.
So that's how we started making that. And then, we have a breast recovery pillow. Well, we have two of them, that actually a customer from Wisconsin sent to us and asked if we could duplicate it. And then she's like, you really need to sell these. So, you know, we've kind of in that way, the different
responsive to the, yeah,
to, with the customer. Sure. To that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've,
well, and that goes back to the, you know, we customize anything too. I mean, there, we just recently had, a guy come in, his wife has cancer and she's having trouble. And he was like, you know, maybe we can try to come up with something to make it a little bit more comfortable for her. So that goes back to, again, that's above my skill set at this time. But you can specialty do things. And I think grandmother has done different medical pillows for different things to help. So that, you know, that's unique as well.
That's awesome. Yeah.
You know, so someone can come in and be like, okay, I can't find the size too, you know.
Yeah.
Body pillow, that guy that super long, it was taller than you. And you're 5'8". I mean, it was a long body pillow.
Which, what's great about a company your size is you can be nimble enough and responsive enough to those things. I mean, where can you really find that these days where you can get that level of customization and
right?
And that's care? Our niche.
Yeah.
You know, we're nothing big, we're nothing fancy, we're nothing, but yeah, we can customize to what you need, you know, and we can, you know, even if you buy a pillow and you take it home and you sleep on it. We have, you know, a place where you can lay down and kind of try it out. But it's not like going home and sleeping in your own bed.
You don't want a lot of people coming in and just laying on the shop floor.
Yeah. Right. So, and, you know, we can't, of course, take returns. You're not going to want to have a pillow that somebody else. But we can adjust them. You know, you take it home, you sleep on it a while. It's too full. It's not full enough. So that's our specialty. Yeah. You know, it sounds real simple, but it is real simple. It's just something that nobody or very few people do anymore. Yeah.
So give me each of your pillows that you have at home. Give me the blend. Is it light, medium, firm, feather, down, blend? What's your preferred? Before we wrap up here, what's your go-to personal pillow choice?
Sure. I have a down king size, a king size bed, and I sleep with more of a lighter weight pillow.
Okay.
Because I'm not a lay down, I'm out for the count type of person. I'm constantly moving around. Yeah. So that way I wad it all up in a ball when I want it fuller on my side or
constantly. Yeah. The ability to tinker with it. I know that feeling for sure.
But definitely down.
Brittany, how about you?
Queen light down is what I'm all about. I have
mother and daughter the same there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that light. Sometimes my pillow will end up pushed up and I'll sleep on my arm. That's people come in and ask for opinions all the time. And I'm like, you can't do that. It has to be personal preference. You know, I sleep on a light, but that doesn't mean you're going to like it. I did make the mistake before I started helping. My pillow needed renovated. Mm-hmm. And I've always slept on down since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
And you were busy and the shipment of down hadn't come in yet. And so I said, well, just put 50-50 in it. It'll be fine. I won't tell the difference. Yeah, I could tell the difference. I got home. That's the dog's pillow now. Yeah. Like, that's how much I'm set on down. 100%. That's what I like.
There's something about your own. That's a very personal
thing, and for so sure. Learned that lesson the hard way. I was like, nope, down, through and through.
Well, at least you don't have to go far to get your pillow just right.
Exactly.
And none of us do here in the corridor region. It's awesome to have you guys in the area and keeping this 100-plus year tradition alive. And what an amazing mother-daughter success story for small business. It's really cool. So thank you both for taking the time, and we'll share it all the show notes where to find you guys, and get everybody in and get those perfect pillows perfect. Made right here in town. That's great. Awesome. Thank you both for taking the time.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
You bet. My thanks to Don and Brittany Shore for coming onto the show to talk about their real success. If you'd like to learn more about Check Feather and Down, you can visit checkfeatherdownco.com. I'd also like to thank this podcast sponsor, Midwest One Bank. Experience simply better banking at midwestone.bank. And this podcast is produced by Upload Media Group, located here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. For more information on them, you can visit uploadmediagroup.com. And of course, if you enjoy this show, please consider subscribing and reviewing on your podcast platform of choice. It helps us to continue to develop and grow. Real Success with Nate Kading is a Corridor Media Group podcast. For more information, visit corridorbusiness.com.